going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You know, if we didn't get hit with a copyright infringement, I was thinking of opening up this show with Boys to Men. It's end of the road, because that's what it feels like for this Warriors season. It feels like the end of the road. Steph already out of game five. Who knows if the Warriors even win, if he would be ready for game six. Probably not, based on everything that we've kind of heard. Well, we haven't really heard much, but there hasn't been any positive information out there about him being able to play. Does it feel like that? Are we looking at Wednesday as the end of the season here?
Yeah, I think so. It's I think you give them a 15% chance to win that game. And is that too high?
15?
15. Or do you think higher, like 30?
That's interesting.
Because you're not going 50. You're not going 50-50.
No, especially because it's in Minnesota, though they did win one in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I think your two chances are Minnesota just play, you know, just throw the ball around. I mean, which they did yesterday, and it didn't really help the Warriors. Just throw the ball around, make dumb turnovers. And the only other way, I think, is if the Warriors figure out how to change it up for Ant-Man so that he plays a little bit more like game one, because right now he's cooking, like he's on fire. They can't stop him. But in the first two games, at least maybe this, or like I would say game part of game three, they had a good handle on him. I don't know if it's playing more of the zone. I don't know if it's trapping him as the ball handler. I don't know if it's putting Kuminga on him exclusively one-on-one and trying to be physical with him and making him work harder. I don't even think it's like, oh, Jimmy goes for 40, because there's not enough scoring around Jimmy for that to make a difference. So I think it's lockdown defense or Minnesota just, you know, kind of throws the ball around and isn't super focused, which that's kind of been their season. Like they should have been a lot better record wise than they were this year. And we saw that game already.
This series should be over. If you know, that's the only kind of saving grace I have for this Warriors team, is that it seems pretty well known now that this Minnesota team plays down to their competition. And so maybe they can sneak one in game five because Minnesota plays down to their competition. I haven't been that impressed with Minnesota, and I feel like the Warriors have been in all those games, and the turning point for when Minnesota wins it has been, it felt like Minnesota just has more talent. And I know game three, Draymond, you know, that fourth cruddy fourth foul, and then the fifth foul that I thought was silly too. And then that sixth foul was fine, but just getting the sixth foul and getting out of the game is when Minnesota goes on their run. But it's like, okay, now Draymond's gone. And I know you're already missing Steph, so you're asking for a lot from these reserves, but you just, you know, I think the Warriors have pretty solid depth. If everyone is available and if Kuminga is playing somewhat like this, then I actually like their depth, but I'd still rather have DiVincenzo, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and Naz Reid coming off my bench than, you know, Kuminga and whoever else comes off the Warriors bench. So, you know, not only are they more healthy, but I think they are more playoff deep. I think the Warriors just have that experience and that style of play that seems to be able to hang with these teams at times when you're depleted, but I think, you know, in game four, they just, you know, ran the table at the third quarter when they made a substitution that I thought was the correct substitution is when Minnesota goes nuts. They finally take out Pods, who's looked terrible, and they put in Kuminga. So it's, you know, Draymond, Buddy, Kuminga, Jimmy, TJD. And I was like, oh, this lineup might actually like be physical, defensive, athletic, and do stuff on the scoring side. Nope. That ended the game. That lost them the game right there. So
they were slow. They couldn't score. That was a mistake when you look back at that lineup night. Now they're probably not winning anyways, but that was a bit of a tipping point for them. And it's the lineup that he has resisted as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like Kerr has resisted doing that. And then he kind of gave in because, you know, just you're trying anything at that point, and it did not work out. So I don't imagine we're going to see that. Is there one person? Now we could probably say this after every game. Who's the one person that should play a little bit more, and then the other person who should play a little bit less? Like after what was it, game three? I was like, nope. I hope Moses Moody never plays ever again. But now I'm like, game five, might as well play him because at least he's gonna stick his nose in and grab a rebound or tip a rebound out or dive on the floor, which is kind of the stuff they need. It's just the flip side is when he gets the basketball, it is an absolute dead end and a 24-second shot clock violation. So that's the minus of it. But I don't know. He'll dive on the floor and crack his head on the floor. Yeah. But he's also going to be left wide open.
I think that's the change they needed in that third quarter when they played that lineup that looked like they had no energy. It's like, oh, here's Gui Santos, who the only thing he knows how to do is provide energy. Maybe that would have been the switch there. But with Moses, you know, you talk about a few of those shot clock violations in game one, and I think game two as well. Just like some of those weren't his fault, but like some of that indecision we saw in the Houston series and that we've seen to close the year, Pods is showing that right now. You know, those pump fakes from three, and you know every single time what he's going to do. He's not going to shoot the three. He's going to pump fake and try to go around and then have to pull it back because he can't get around you. I don't think you can bench Pods entirely, but man, like if there is someone to do it, if someone who's deserved to get the treatment that Moses got, it's Pajemski. And I feel like when Moses got put in there in the fourth quarter, he recognized, he was like, okay, I can't be indecisive. I have to be decisive and I have to play hard. And sure, those are garbage minutes against starters who could really give a crap. But, you know, he did all that stuff. So, you know, I was talking to my buddy on the way home and I was like, I feel like I really do trust the Warriors staff. So I don't want to question them too hard because, like, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking like one step ahead in terms of lineup adjustments. Like, okay, Looney had a bad game four, so we're not going to play him in game five. So-and-so had a bad game four. So-and-so had a good game four. So let's play him in game five. Like that's kind of how I'm thinking. But I feel like this coaching staff really does think like, okay, Looney wasn't that great, but we could put him in the specific spot in game five. And of course, you know, it's a coaching staff. They're obviously going to be better than me. But I just think, you know, this Warriors coaching staff is probably going to make the right call. And even with the Kuminga thing, like, how do you feel about that? Because I feel like I see, like, you could see, even though he's playing well, you could see what he needs in order to succeed. And that's just not, I feel like, not how the Warriors like to succeed, just by giving the guy shots and just letting him kind of go crazy to the hole, a little, like, not completely controlled. When Kuminga gets in the air, like, he kind of has no plan other than shoot it. And I don't want to dog on Kuminga because he really has been the only one that stepped up to the plate in these past few games. But I was excited, like, oh, maybe they get one. Steph comes back and they get to do this Steph, Buddy, JK, Draymond, Jimmy. And I do think that'd be a successful lineup. But even thinking past this year of, oh, they don't get it done in five. Steph doesn't even come back for game six if they get it done in game five and then they lose in game six. And just in the assumption that they lose this year is like, I don't know if you can justify bringing JK back regardless of this little two-game spurt, just because I just don't know if his style of play, I guess, just fits with what they want to do.
Well, clearly it doesn't fit with Steph, and they don't believe it fits with Steph, or else he would have played. Now I'm starting to see a little bit of what Kerr was doing. they had a plan. They're like, okay, if we are going to win, this is how we have to win. And we can't even mess with this JK stuff. We can't even have it be any sort of a distraction. We got to be honest with him. This is how we're going to win. Steph, everything is built around Steph, and Jonathan just doesn't play that well around Steph. But then when Steph gets hurt, now you're thrown into the deep end of the pool, and you're like, now what do we do? But I think in that first sort of plan, the blueprint, the back end of that blueprint and why you didn't prepare Jonathan is you're like, well, if there's no Steph, then game over. Like, who cares? There's no way that we can actually do it. So I get it now a lot more than I did when we first started to see JK just like get 0 minutes. I'm like, okay, now I understand. However, Jonathan does show life. He does show energy. He is active. He still somehow loses the ball on half of his layup attempts. It's just one of those things where you're like, I'm not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe again with this guy. Now, like him. I root for him. You know, I was telling you guys in the group chat, I was like, the poor dude dyed his hair blonde for like 2 days, and then he took his first day of school pictures, and now that's every picture that they use on all of his graphics. It's the blonde hair JK. It's just unfortunate that it had to get to this level. Some of it, though, it's like I do wonder when it comes to the scouting department about who you can play around Steph, because it's not like Steph has changed his style of play since the early 2010s. So we think that Wiseman is going to be a guy who can play around Steph, and it is actually he cannot. You think JK is someone who can play around Steph. He actually cannot. So it's almost like the scouting department hadn't even figured out who you could draft or who you could put around Steph to, you know, at least even get some depth pieces on the bench. Like Moody, I guess, can play with Steph, but he can't play without Steph. So he's the opposite. So it's kind of weird the way how this stuff works, but you know, that this is the price you pay for being competitive. And we'll talk about this at the end of the podcast. Look at poor Jason Tatum. We don't know exactly what is the medical reason for his Achilles to snap in the way it did. But if you look at how the NBA season is structured, the good teams are the ones that play 100 games every season. The bad teams do not play 100 games. So you are kind of penalized. Your players are penalized for going so far deep into the playoffs. Like, think about how KD got hurt. You know, 2012, he was in the finals. And then 2019, he'd probably been in the playoffs for almost every year. And then that's when his thing snaps. He's playing not 90 plus games every season. He's probably not playing in all of them, but his team is. And so he's just this wear and tear. And that's Steph and Jimmy. And Draymond doesn't look 100% healthy to me. But that's all of those guys in their upper age. And they've all been either hurt or super tired during this playoffs because it's such a grind. But look at some of the bad teams. Like, I didn't see anyone on Portland, you know, getting really hurt because they're just not playing so many games. So it's an interesting thing that's happening, and I do wonder if there's going to be any changes to how long the season is, because this is where the NBA makes their money, especially with TV and stuff. This is the part of the season that everyone's watching. But you're not getting your best players because they're all older and they're so tired and beat up. It's kind of crazy.
You're telling them to shorten the season?
I don't even know if it's a shorten the season thing as much as figuring out how to create more rest during the season and lengthening it. But then by lengthening it, you're running more into competing against the NFL, which they don't want to do. And you know, but
and then the WNBA is like, what the hell, guys?
Well, for the WNBA, at least for instance, the Valkyries, they open their season on Friday, and we'll talk about that. But because they open their season on Friday, they were going to push the Warriors to Sunday. So if the Warriors win in Minnesota, they actually get an extra 2 days off because of that schedule thing. And so that would have been great for Steph if you could just win one, and maybe it gives him a little bit better of a chance to play. But in the arenas that where you have, or in the markets where you have a WNBA team and an NBA team, I think it works because it actually probably helps in the scheduling. You don't have to play on the same days or whatever. So, yeah, it's not an easy thing for these players. And Jason Tatum is not an old player. He's just played in the playoffs for a while. So how do you figure out? I mean, this happens in the NFL, too. You got all these guys at the end of a 17-game season. You know, these guys are supposed to be healthy after all the punishment that they've taken. So I think it's more of like a end of the season issue for both of these leagues than it is like a game per how many games you play. Mm-hmm. They just need to figure out how to get more rest. Maybe there's a, you know, maybe there's a maximum of games that these guys can play and you have to structure it a little bit differently. Maybe you have a bigger roster. You have a 15-man roster, not a 12-man roster where everyone's active because, you know, Steph's got to miss 10 games. And so how do you structure his 10 in a row miss games? So I don't know. It's something like that. But the current structure is all based off of the schedule and money and owners not wanting to give up games anyway. So,
yeah. And not to kind of pivoting, but not to make Warriors fans too sad, but it's something I've said on this podcast for the past couple of months leading up to the trade deadline, being that this is a year that you talk about next year and you look at some of the young teams that are, you know, the Houston Rockets that now looking at it, we took out in the first round, Oklahoma City Thunder who might go out in round two, you know, even the just San Antonio Spurs who, you know, Wembanyama goes down. But you look at those teams and there are teams who have accumulated so much assets and so much young talent that, and the reason I brought this up because like, what if Houston, you know, was just to switch Jalen Green with Devin Booker and you get to run it out next year? Because if you put together the talent, you actually might not even have to take any of those first starters off the board. What if Oklahoma City Thunder is able to add Kevin Durant? What if the San Antonio Spurs are able to add Giannis? So we could be looking at like a bloodbath of a Western Conference.
KD's not going back to Oklahoma City after all that cupcake stuff, man. He's not going.
Okay, then KD could be going to Houston instead of it's just like, you know, there was a little bit of a window before I feel like some of these younger teams figured it out. If you know, Houston adds Devin Booker instead of Jalen Green or Kevin Durant instead of Jalen Green, like, no, we probably don't win in seven. Like, I know that Jimmy went down, but you know, that Houston team had the defense. All they were missing was kind of this half court consistent offense. So it is kind of like, it's not looking great next year, which is why Marcus was kind of playfully fighting TK in the pod, Warriors Plus Minus that came out today or yesterday, where, you know, he was just saying like, you're telling me Steph doesn't at least, you know, take it, like there's a chance he doesn't play on at game five, because you see what's remaining. It's the Knicks, it's the Pacers, you know, two teams that the Warriors with Steph and Curry probably like their odds against. And, you know, then of course Denver or OKC next round, but OKC looks very human now. And then you also are not as afraid of Denver as you used to be. So, you know, this really does feel like there was a number five for Stephen Curry in the grasp. And it feels like that is probably, I mean, it's, you know, they lose tomorrow. It's gone. It's most likely gone. So, there's a chance it never appears like this again, just based on what I said. You look at every single team and, you know, these young teams add another year of experience to their belt, plus add a aging superstar. And it's like, well, I like that more than what the Warriors got. So kind of rough.
It goes back, and every Warriors fan, including us, said this at the end of the season. When you lose to San Antonio, and then you lose to the Clippers, and then you have to play that extra game in the play-in, that really hard game against Memphis, and then you don't take care of Houston when you need to take care of Houston, being up 3-1. So you add a level of difficulty to your season because you're just not taking care of business. That team is not going to win a title. That team is going to have issues with Jimmy Butler hurting himself and Steph hurting himself and Draymond having all of these flagrant points and technical points that even if we make it into the next round, this dude's getting suspended for a game. Like, it's all of that stems from them not taking care of business at the end of the season. And that told us, I think, that they were probably not a championship team. But you will take that as a fan because you want to see your team compete in the playoffs. And now we're in a spot where things could be laid out for them to compete for another championship, but they didn't take care of business. So they're not a championship team, because a championship team would have taken care of business and put themselves in a great position to take advantage of other teams having struggles, like other teams' best players getting hurt, Cleveland and Boston having these injuries, which are like, you know, they're having incredible seasons and injuries and other teams getting hot, bumping them out of their spots. And now there's opportunity for other teams in Denver, you know, pushing back against OKC. Like, all of those things are happening, and a good team, a team that took care of business, they would be just ready for that. But the Warriors didn't. Like, they didn't take care of any of that stuff. So now they're in a position where they too are just like Boston and just like Cleveland, and they're not taking advantage. They're not able to take advantage of their success because of it.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like you can also point a little bit to, like, but what does this team look like if Jimmy Butler is on the team to start the year? I know there's a lot of pathways you can go down where, oh, well, if you got Jimmy in the beginning of the year, the price is completely different in order to get him. But it's something I've been, again, I keep saying this, that I've been saying on this podcast, and I'm not, there's a lot of times that I'm actually not right. I'm not right a lot, but I am right in the sense of, this was a window. This was a year. There was a window of opportunity. I think next year is going to be way more difficult. When I guess I'm not totally right on yet, because that hasn't happened yet, but I feel good about that. But also, they should have made the move, you know, 2 years ago, the season that Draymond punched Poole in the face. I've been saying the number two thing. And, you know, you'd have to go back to look at what the options were. I know I was trying to put together a package for Siakam then, but... You know, like, it just feels like you get Jimmy Butler hasn't been like amazing. He's been, you know, maybe what you can ask for from a number two. But with Jimmy, you thought there was some upside of trading for a number one as well. But I think with Jimmy, it's just been so much like his feel for the game and just being able to integrate himself into the system really quickly with, you know, the defensive mindset that he's just really good on that end with Draymond as well. But it's not like the shot making has been absolutely insane. So, and what I'm saying is, like, you know, maybe the Siakam thing would have been awesome, or maybe there's a few other stars out there. Like, my point is that Jimmy hasn't been like the greatest. He's been pretty darn good, but there were other players that they should have went for earlier in that season, where they had Chris Paul, in that season where, you know, they went to the second round against the Lakers and ran into a similar issue that they're running into now, where they just don't have enough talent. And then also a similar issue in 2022 against the Lakers is like they didn't handle business soon enough either. So,
well, yeah. What do you think? Like, I understand what Marcus was saying, and then we're talking about the Plus Minus podcast, where he was saying Steph may want to push the chips in and test it because he sees a better opportunity for them to possibly come back and win this series rather than starting all over from scratch next year and then going into the season with all of these teams in the West just improving, and then the Mavericks get Cooper Flagg and the San Antonio Spurs get the second pick, and which they could use to possibly trade for Giannis and just adding another big hurdle in the West. But there is a flip side, and I think it has to do with what kind of roster they can put together around Steph and Jimmy and Draymond next year, because they're going to have Buddy, and Buddy has proven in this playoffs almost to the point where it's like, you know how like you have a student who kind of goofs around all year, but then when it comes time to take the test, like, just aces it. Like, that's kind of Buddy. Like, he just screwed around all year, and then when they needed him in the playoffs, he played his best basketball. So I think that bodes well for next year. But to me, the two main things that they need a big that they can play, because Draymond's already worn down. If you're going to extend the life of Draymond, you need a big that can play next to him. Now, it's got to be a special kind of big because Draymond is not a shooter, but also somebody who can stay on the floor and not, you know, people are like, oh, what about Quentin Post? Quentin Post getting played off the floor defensively. Like, he's just been a minus in the series. So it can't only just be Quentin Post. It has to be someone who they trust defensively. And then I think you
that
need...
player is also like insanely hard to get, by the way.
Yeah, like it, like it's almost impossible. Like it's like a, it's a Dunleavy trick, right? It's what does Dunleavy have up his sleeve? Which is why I think the Kuminga contract might even be more important than we realize about them re-signing him so that they can trade him. And then the other thing is, as you can tell in this series, they just lack the shooting because they don't trust any of these guys, and those guys don't trust themselves. Like Pods, I don't want to hear this offseason about how Pods is in his bag and he's doing all this stuff. Like, he had the opportunity to be a lead guard these last three games, and he's not proven that opportunity. He's still young, all that stuff. But all the deficiencies in his game are just exposed in a series like this. But these are the teams that are going to be really good. These are the teams that he's going to have to play well against, and he's just not. So I think Dunleavy, if Dunleavy can find some of the right fits, make some moves, and put together one last run, I kind of lean towards the Kawakami of, like, they still feel confident in next year. But it's only if you can put the pieces. You cannot bring the same 12 back next year and expect to go deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Do you have any predictions for, like, a starting lineup or maybe some key switches? I know we mentioned Moses being put back into the rotation. Do you think they try to do Quentin Post whenever Anthony Edwards isn't on the court?
That's a good one. Where maybe you do, maybe you pair his minutes to Ant's off-court minutes.
But those minutes are also Julius Randle's minutes, you know, when they stagger. And I know Julius has given him some buckets as well. Julius has given everyone buckets, though.
My least favorite thing that Quentin Post does is where he goes like this and touches his head when he makes a mistake. It's like, don't tell me, dude. I can see it.
My least favorite thing is when he tries to get athletic, because then he's so pathetic. So bad.
I think he'll be usable in the regular season next year, though. Like, I like him on the team. It's just, he's just going to have to, like, there. I don't know if there's a defensive ceiling for him. He's just that just might be who he is. You know who they could get now? He is old in he's long in the tooth here, but someone like Brook Lopez could play next to Draymond. He's not, you know, the Brook Lopez of 10 years ago would be perfect, but, you know, even today he's much better than what they currently have. But somebody like him could be, but, you know, this is only if Milwaukee decides to tear it down. Then
I think they're gonna, but we'll see.
I say, oh man, you got to stick with Pods and Buddy. I don't think you can take those guys out.
Does GP hit the DNP button?
I don't think he's a DNP. I think he's just one of many guys that you throw at Ant, whether it's for 5 minutes or for 15 minutes. I think you just need him. You need GP to be ready, because you're going to need him. You know, I would go back to Draymond and Moody at the start, just to see if you could get some energy from Moody and maybe take advantage of the Draymond and Rudy stuff a little bit. And then who would be your threes is Jimmy. So I would go Pods, Buddy, Jimmy, Moody, and Draymond. But I would have the quickest hook of all quick hooks on Looney, like, or on Moody. I would have Looney or TJD just like ready, like almost standing up when the game starts, just to, because you got to see what, if Moody has nothing, then you just sit him for the rest of the game. But if he actually has some energy and fight, you're like, okay, we might be able to come back to this at some point. So I don't
know. That's not JK then. Do you like him off the bench?
Because of what happened when they went to that lineup yesterday. It just seemed like an ill fit because, okay, now here's what's different. They talked about this today. Kerr said that Jimmy is feeling a lot better and that him being sick was some of the issue yesterday. What is up with
this illness? They live by so many good physicians, doctors, hospitals.
Wrap them in bubble wrap, man.
What the hell, okay, man?
So if you get a Jimmy who is basically putting the team on his back and saying, like, I'm going to score all the important buckets, then yeah, then you can play JK with him. But if you get the Jimmy that's indecisive, what that does is it makes JK, who is an indecisive player, it makes him sporadic, and you can't have that. So it depends on the Jimmy that you have. If Jimmy's going to be decisive, and if he's going to make, you know, one cut moves and one cut shot, and on JK just has to go grab a board or crash or cut, and he doesn't have to think about anything else, then I think you can do it. But if you don't have that Jimmy, I don't know if you can play them together as well as you can.
I was going to try to look at some lineups here, but Minnesota's best lineup is their starting lineup. It looks like Conley, Edwards, McDaniels, Randall, and Gobert plus 20 in 53 minutes. And then that one that I was talking about last podcast that was usually their best lineup is still plus 13 in DiVincenzo, Edwards, McDaniels, Naz Reid, and Julius Randall. That's a plus 13 in 23 minutes. Wanted to look at the Warriors really quick. What's their best? I mean, I bet you I'm going to pull in this specific round what their best lineup is. It's going to probably have like 2 minutes and like Stephen Curry's in it. Yeah, geez. 4 minutes plus 12. Okay, so there's this, I guess, this Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, GP2, Kuminga, and Pajemski lineup, 11 minutes plus 9. And then you have Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Buddy Hield, GP2, Pajemski, plus 9 as well in 7 minutes. I don't know. I guess there's stuff, but yeah. It's... what did you end up giving them a percentage?
I think 25 is a little light. I mean, 15 is a little light. I would say they have a 25% chance to win, but that is,
that might
change based off of the energy. Like if Minnesota is going for the throat and the Warriors are, you know, just not starting out well, then you're right on. I am basing mine on the idea that the Warriors are proud. Jimmy Butler and Draymond don't want to go out like punks.
They've got the best coaching staff in the league that knows how to make game-to-game adjustments. This is where they usually shine in the playoffs.
And Ant is like fooling and talking trash to Gary Payton's dad and all that. Then I think they have a 25% chance.
Yeah. Kind of. It also bums me that Steph Curry is not here because I know Ant's not a front runner. So like when he does, you know, the night-night joke in like his pregame warm-up or like, you know, yells Stephen Curry from, you know, the volleyball line when he's taking threes, like he would be doing that if Steph was healthy and they were going head to head. Like he's not, you know, he's not someone who just does that when Steph's out. It's like, you know, say Ant goes on this generational run, takes out Jokic next round or takes out SGA next round, then ends up taking out Brunson or Halliburton in the finals. Like they're going to look back at this in like 25 years and be like, wow, Anthony Edwards took out LeBron in round one, Steph in round two, Jokic in round three. And this is going to get talked about like the greatest final run of all time. But
you know
what happened in round two.
When we were talking about the injury stuff, LeBron was going to miss the rest of the series because of his injury. So that's another
one. Yeah, but they
were
going out sad. They were going out sad.
No, but they got closed out. But if they didn't get closed out, LeBron would not have been able to play. So you're talking about LeBron, talking about Steph, you're talking about Tatum, you're talking about the Garland, you're talking about Dame. That's a lot of guys who are getting hurt this late in the season. And, you know, we've talked about all the resting and all that stuff and how the fans hate it. I hate it too, but what I would do is I would force if you want to do the resting stuff, I would force the teams to put their schedule of who they're going to rest out a week before the game so that the fans would know that certain players are not going to be there. And then you don't buy the ticket. That's the honest way. But all right. Yeah. And let's talk about some Valkyries here.
Valk's Valley.
Home run. Game two. I'm surprised they only had two pre-games or two preseason games.
And I think they had two more than a lot of teams as well.
That's kind of ridiculous considering all of these teams have so many new players because of the free agency and how that worked. And the Valkyries are trying to put together. I have no idea what their best five is. Like, no idea.
It's not their starting five.
Well, because half of the game, they're playing against everyone's reserves as well. So we'll talk about it. But Ami here and Touré are like the two best players on the court. But I can't tell if it's because they're playing against players that are not even going to be rostered or not. Like Touré had one job last night, and that was to plant her rear end in the corner and not move. That's all she did. And it was incredible because she's getting the shot off and it looks great. But I have no idea if she's like a rotation player or not, or if she's even going to make the team because of, you know, the way that they were playing the end. But Valkyries open up Friday against the Sparks. And I have literally no idea what the starting roster is going to look like, what the rotation is going to look like. Who's the bucket scorer on their team? Like, do you know who would you predict to be the high scorer on the Valkyries?
It's supposed to be Tiffany Hayes. Like, that's, she got paid a max. She won sixth woman of the year. It's supposed to be Tiffany Hayes. It has not been Tiffany Hayes lately.
She can't even get a good shot up, it looks like to me.
Yeah. She's probably still the best bet, I'd say. I mean, that starting lineup just looked rough. Like, Veronica Burton's getting like 8 3-point attempts and can't hit any of them. Caleb Thornton looked good. I mean, these are just a lot of players who are, you know, the number 4 to 7 best player on a championship team, all trying to, you know, play together. And that's kind of what it looks like out there as well. There are some interesting players doing things. I was watching it with Jay, and he was saying that, you know, no one's forcing the issue. You know, they're like reacting to the defense and not making the defense react to them. You know, they won this game evidently by kind of still sticking with that in a way. Like, the defense was not really allowing points in the paint, and they said, okay, we're just going to continue to shoot threes. And that's how they won. Like, I just pulled it up right now, and points in the paint was 22 to the Mercury's 36. Valkyries had 51 bench points to the Mercury's 31. Valkyries had 8 turnovers to the Mercury's 18. It is nice to, as a Warriors fan, to see a low turnover count.
Well, they basically have, it's interesting because on their starting rotation, Hayes and Burton are the backcourt. I don't feel like either of them is like necessarily a point guard. And then when they go to the backcourt with the reserves, it's Van Loo and Late, and they're both point guards.
Yeah. So
it's kind of weird.
Yeah. I think Van Loo is going to eventually be starting for this team. I think Van Loo at the 1, Hayes at the 2, Kayla's going to forever start for this team. I think Monique is someone who can maybe get bumped from the starting lineup eventually when players start to get comfortable or still report. You know, we still haven't seen Janelle Salon, who I can say today she just won the finals for her Italian league. So she'll be over here, I'm assuming, really soon. Janelle is someone who will be starting for this team by the end of the season, So I think Van Loo, Hayes, Thornton, Salon, Janelle, Salon, and then even like Ileana Rupert might end up at the five at over Temi at some point in this season when she comes after Eurobasket. But yeah, they still haven't figured out the five. You could see Natalie Nicasse is heavily leaning towards like more of a defensive approach, which is why she's going Burton over Van Loo. Like, I watched Van Loo get burned a little too many times, but man, she just does stuff on offense where it felt like that was the only reason they won. Honestly, it was like Van Loo was just making plays for everyone else, and it just seemed like they were on a run and Phoenix couldn't stop it. Again, they're going against reserves, but Julie's going to be a fan favorite wearing the Steph jersey and walking into the arena. I'm excited to watch her play, and she needs to start. But something that JJ was watching is, I was like, hey, look at who, you know, we drafted with the first pick or our fifth pick. She's not coming over this year. And he started watching highlights and he's like, dude, she could play with this team like right now. Like that, like he looks like, you know, she's talented. She's smart enough with the basketball, talented enough, can shoot the hell out of the ball. Like, he was just like, why the hell is she not here right now and playing? And I didn't have the greatest answer for him because the weird draft and stash stuff. But
okay, so I was looking at the box score, the ESPN box score for the game last night. And so out of the players who didn't play, Talbot, DNP quad.
Yeah.
Conde, DNP coaches.
She's out for the year. Out for the year.
Okay.
She's not even coming. She's not even reporting.
Zan DeLassini.
Yep.
Foot injury.
Correct. And those Talbot and Zan DeLassini are for sure like a part. If you had the playoffs right now, they'd be in the top seven, you know, for a rotation.
Salon, not with the team. Kate Martin has a hand injury.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they have for Eustay?
What?
Coach's decision.
DMP.
Not there. She's not there.
You can't DMP someone if they're not in the building.
Why do they not know? Like, what? I just, the secrecy around that is so weird to me.
I know. It's so weird how she's still on the roster, where it makes you feel like she can eventually come over because, you know, she's on the WNBA app. When you look at the box score, she's on their actual roster transaction or page. Someone pointed out today that they have a Eustay Yochite and a Justin Yochite. So somehow she got her their fake twin brother to be on the roster as well. But yeah, I mean, we still have roster decisions, I believe, tomorrow.
Friday, they can change it, right?
Until Friday? Okay. Okay. So, you know, Richard Cohen was saying some interesting stuff about, like, what if they traded, and this is something I love, like, but it feels like it's something I like too much that where it never happens, where it's like, okay, you've assessed Toure, she could hoop, she could play. I think she will, she is, you know, she's 30 years old. So she has, she probably is who she is. So I do believe that she's probably like this 3-and-D rotation player that is actually good. What if you know, get Toure and you get Linskins, who's shown good things, but probably
they played well when Linskins was in because they actually had a big,
and she passes well.
Yeah. But also, again, playing against all the second teamers of the other team.
Yeah. So Toure and Linskins, you package them and send, I don't know if you've seen anything about Seattle, but they just keep losing players to injury. And you take Katie Lou Samuelson, who has like a, I guess what the quote unquote bad contract is in the WNBA. And you take their 2026 first round pick that I think is the Aces pick, or I forget whose pick it is. And, you know, you give them those two players and then you get back Katie Lou Samuelson and this first round pick. You could probably waive Katie Lou Samuelson. You have the cap space to waiver and get off of her. That shortens the roster down from whatever 17 it is right now to 15, and you have easier decisions on your hands. Because I gotta say again, I liked the way Chloe Bibby played. I thought she looked good in her minutes as well. I thought everyone pretty much looked good. I guess Caitlin Chen was the only one that I feel like didn't make an impact.
5 minutes. She only 5 minutes. She got in the game and she tipped a rebound out to keep a possession alive, but that was really all that she did.
That her and Van Loo just cannot get the easy inbound done. I think they almost turned it over again. If they didn't, they came really close to it again in the second game.
In addition to Van Loo, I think Late is going to be a fan favorite. But she's got the same problem. She's reckless. Quick. She gets to the bucket, but there's no room for her to finish. Like, she doesn't have a move to get around these bigs. And so she's constantly stuck in no person's land and getting her shot blocked. She did hit a three, so that was nice to see. But you know the starting backcourt last night was a combined 2 for 14 from three. Mm-hmm. Hayes and Burton both 1 for 7. And then late it was 2 for 3. Touré was 4 for 9. Those were the only people. Oh, I guess Fagbenle and Thornton also made 2 threes. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, they just were having, you know, Tiffany Hayes went 1 for 11.
That was rough. Yeah. It was a rough watch.
Some of these were like, she had no, she shot it and you were just thinking this has no chance of going in.
Yeah. I do feel like she didn't get a lot of open looks, which makes sense. The defense is treating her as the best player. Like a lot of Burton's threes were pretty darn wide open. She didn't really come close to many of them. But I still think Tiffany is, you know, they signed her to be the best player. She's probably going to be the best player unless, you know, she's probably going to be the best player. I guess unless like one of the French players, you know, finds something. But yeah, I think this is going to be, I think I am intrigued though, because I feel like this is going to be a team that, you know, plays really hard, is in games, but ultimately loses them. But they're in the games. They're not getting like blown out. Like it feels like there's still a lot of effort being played. And I feel like for, you know, I'm covering this, you know, I'm not trying to be like not biased. Like I am a fan of this team and I would like to see entertaining basketball regardless of if they're trash or not. And I think that they are going to go out there and put up effort, and that's all you can ask for. And I think, you know, I think I just looked at a stat here where Phoenix had it. The largest lead was like Phoenix had like a 14-point lead at some point, and the Valkyries.
Yeah, all lead. In the first half. They were cooking them in the first half.
Like I could see stuff like that happening where, you know, a team gets super ahead of this Valkyries team and kind of like maybe takes their foot off the pedal a little bit, and here come the Fighting Valkyries coming back into this game because, you know, they have the effort and they play hard, and that'll be fun to watch in games. So, as you know, I'm going to try to go to a lot. I'm going to try to go to this first game on Friday. I've been looking at, you know, the tickets for a lot of those.
How are they?
My first game is looking like 50 to get in the door.
That's not bad at all.
It's not bad at all. But a lot of these other games, unless it's a Caitlin Clark game or unless it's maybe like New York or Dallas with Paige, like they're really, really cheap tickets.
Let's just look at June 22nd. See what your schedule is like for June 22nd.
Okay.
Because that's a week. A little bit, 6 days before your birthday. I'm out of town that whole week after that. But that Sunday, I think they play Connecticut. They have like 4 games in a row at home.
That's probably the cheapest ticket. That or Washington are probably the cheapest ticket. From a competitive standpoint, Connecticut might be as good as the Valkyries.
Yeah, we'll look for that. We'll see if we can go to that game. But I would like to go to some of these games too. It's just all depending on schedule.
Yeah.
But I would definitely go out there and check it out. Friday, the idea of going to the first ever game is fun. So you should definitely try for sure.
Yeah.
It'd be. I mean, it's history, right?
History.
You could say you were at the first ever Valkyries home game.
Yep. I'm still. I guess when it comes to the Final 12, I think they, you know, made their choice based off of the minutes played, but I think it's what we've said. But Richard Cohen made up a point of like they could suspend Janelle's contract until she actually reports to camp. So mm-hmm. I guess you delay a decision being made. But they did a lot of Amihir minutes, they did a lot of Touré minutes, and they did a lot of who was the last player? I think was it just those two that because it's it's kind of tradition at this point to just pull up the roster and do the 12. But I guess Chen's probably not going to make this roster. Bibby's probably not going to make this roster.
Kate didn't even play. So
Kate didn't even play, and neither did Zana Lassini and Talbot. But it's probably not. I think they started at 18 and then they cut Cheyenne. So they're at 17.
Cheyenne got cut again.
She looked pretty rough on that preseason game. Like you could kind of see like where it's like, okay, it seems like the Valkyries want to play fast. They want to play hard. I said it in the podcast with Sabrina. I was like, is she still hurt? Because she does not look fast.
She looked indecisive.
Very indecisive. And Sabrina said she must be hurt because one of the top qualities about Cheyenne is her speed at her mm-hmm. size. So, Hopefully she figures out her career, because I still think she's
Hopefully she can, you know, if this year doesn't work out for her, she can figure out what's wrong and rest and work out and get better. Because, like, you don't go from that high of a level of talent to just being not able to play the next level up. She has the talent to play at the next level up. So there's something else that is out there. So hopefully she can get there, because you know, I would hate to see her waste that because of whatever reason. So hopefully it's health related and she can just bounce right back.
Yeah. Okay. So Cheyenne gets cut from the team. They're at 18. Now they're at 17. So now they have to cut 5 in order to get to 12, but they can suspend Janelle to get to 16. So they only have to cut 4 until Janelle reports. So you'd cut Kanane, you'd cut Linskins, you'd cut Bibby, and you'd cut Chen. And the rest of the players make the team until Janelle gets there, and then you make a decision between Amihir and Toure. Or you do what Richard Cohen was saying, and you trade Toure and Linskins for a bad contract and a draft pick, which I would do 10 times out of 10 if that offer's on the table. So
I don't know, man. Toure was getting buckets.
She was. And other news is Carla Late is not going to Eurobasket.
Okay, so that was a worry.
That was kind of a worry. I looked at their Eurobasket qualifying roster, and I thought she is really not getting any playing time, so she might not even make the roster outright. But then when you see Gabby Williams is not going to go, Dominique Malanga is not going to go, then it was like, oh, shoot, Carla's probably going to make this team now, and now Carla's not going to go. So I wonder if this Eurobasket thing did make the difference for Yuste, because I imagine, you know, Yuste really wanted to play for her national team. Lithuania hasn't been in Eurobasket. I think I read Lithuania hasn't been in Eurobasket in like 10 years. So it would make sense that she wanted to play. But Carla had said kind of implied in her post that it was because of her commitments to the WNBA. Maybe there was some kind of contract agreement where it's like, stay, you know, we need you to stay. So I don't know.
I don't know, man. According to Yuste, or according to ESPN, Yuste didn't play because the coach didn't play her. That's just the deal.
She's not good enough. The coach said DNP.
What's up with, I know Cam Brink is still hurt, correct?
Yeah, she's not coming. She tore ACL in the middle of the season. She's not going to come back until a year from that date.
So she played like half the year last year, right?
Maybe a little less.
She's got to be close to the 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah.
She's still very young, and you don't want to rush her back. But it'd just be interesting. I hope that she's in the arena, because that'd be a nice little thing for her to be there. And I know, one thing we didn't mention in the Warrior when we talked about the Warriors, I guess Steph did travel to Minnesota. So I don't know if that was traveling to support your team and like kind of this might be the last time we're together kind of thing, or he's like, I'm close, guys. And he kind of can be a little bit of the inspirational vehicle for the team.
I think it's both. I think Steph's present. Like, that'd be kind of crazy if he just didn't go, right?
Well, do you want him to be on that airplane? Like, would it be better for his hamstring to heal if he was just not on the airplane?
Get that guy business class and let him sleep,
I guess. All right, let's end this with a little bit of NBA talk about the playoffs. All right, with Tatum's injury, it sounds like the Knicks are just going to wrap up. It feels like that's what's going to happen, though. Boston is talent; still has a ton of talent without their best player. They may be able to push that series out. But let's say the Warriors do not get out of this series against Minnesota, and let's say the Cavs are cooked, and let's say Boston's cooked, what finals do you actually want to see if those three teams are gone?
I think you'd want to see New York in the finals, just for the energy that, you know, New York fans would bring to the finals, just being that they haven't been there. I don't know how long, you know how long. But
finals since 1998, I think.
So yeah, New York. 99. I'd want to see New York and Minnesota
because of the trade.
That's a fun aspect. I didn't think about.
That means you didn't listen to Zach Lowe today, because he had Simmons on, and they talked about the trade and why that's kind of a fun finals is because of that trade.
It's also the two of the most potentially entertaining teams remaining. Like, I think this could be Ant's like moment. And then,
what about OKC though? You've been high on OKC all year long.
I have been, but now that's, what is it? It's 2-2. They play in the next 20 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm kind of like I'm not even, I still feel like OKC, you know, probably gets it done, even though they were down 2-1 and they got to 2-2. I don't know. Shea's got to figure it out, but yeah, this, I mean, it's just, you know, the Pacers are up 3 against the Cavs right now with a commanding 3-1 lead. They might just end it tonight and
close.
New York's going to end it, and we'll see with Nuggets Thunder, but it just makes me sad as a Warriors fan.
There's an interesting Minnesota-Denver rematch.
I think Minnesota will kill them if they played Denver again.
And they might, but Denver has shown that they are game. They're a game team. They did not lie down. OKC versus Minnesota. That is an interesting one because you kind of wonder if OKC is able to get it together and beat Denver. They will have learned some things about themselves.
Yeah.
And that could empower them to get on a run. And then, like you said, on the other side, I would just like the Knicks just for the NBA and the market and the vibes and all that. Indiana's kind of fun though. Indiana kind of plays with like a, you know, can't tell me nothing kind of thing.
Yeah, like, and you know, that's their kind of crowd was going ballistic when they were just torching the Cavs last game, and that was. Their fans would bring it, of course, but I mean, what matters is it's just that energy in the arena for me. Like, you could just feel it, how important of a game it is. I think the Pacers, of course, bring that based on what I just saw, and then of course the Knicks are going to bring it. So, you know, a lot of good options in terms of. I think there are. I don't know. Do you think there's any of those potential series that would just be like a blowout? I feel like they all seem like they'd be kind of close.
I think it all depends on Oklahoma City. If they can get it together, they're good enough to just absorb teams into their, you know, and just take over. But they've proven, like, this is kind of what we think, right? Is you got to take your baby steps to get there. And last year, them losing to the Mavs. And then this year they've had some stumbles. If they can actually get past Denver and then get to the Western Conference Finals, they'll learn a lot about them. The problem with what the matchups seem to be for the rest of this NBA playoffs is you want the best teams to get there. And so Boston, the Tatum injury, though they were struggling before the Tatum injury, right? Like, got to be honest about this Knicks series. But like that, those kind of the teams that'll draw a little bit of the casual fans, like, you know, Boston and the Warriors, the Knicks will do that though. It's just who's on the other side, who's on the West side that could, and it could be Ant-Man, but you gotta pump up Ant-Man. You gotta make that, you know, he's the next MJ or whatever everyone is saying. So I think for the league, if it's not the Warriors, because Warriors and Knicks would be number one right now. That's what everyone would want for like a ratings kind of thing. But Minnesota Warriors or Minnesota and the Knicks is probably your next best bet.
Yeah.
All right, let's end the show with this. We got a review the other day for the BSPN network on I think it was on Apple Podcasts. And it's from Amazing Larry. Amazing Larry says that our feed is my go-to for Bay sports. The best podcast for Bay Area sports is a breath of fresh air compared to other sports podcasts. It feels like I'm listening to chill conversations between really knowledgeable people. Also love the NBA WNBA focus, which I don't feel like other podcasts do yet. So shout out to the Amazing Larry for that amazing review. We appreciate you. And if anyone else wants to write a review of our podcast feed, you can go to bspnmedia.com, and there's a reviews tab. And if you click the tab, there will be a drop down and you can go directly to the Apple Podcast or the Spotify review section. And you can write the review directly from our website. And if you give us a fantastic review like the amazing Larry just did, we will read it on air. Probably not going to read it if you give us a bad review. Just going to be honest about that. But so maybe a little enticement there for folks. But all right. So Warriors, possible last game Wednesday. Valkyries start Friday. Warriors, if they can push to game six on Sunday. So there's still a ton of stuff that we'll be able to chit chat about on the next show. And Brad and I were up yesterday talking Giants, who have now lost four games in a row. And the offense is breaking our hearts and hurting our feelings. So lots of stuff going on in our neck of the woods. And it's going to be fun covering the Valkyries for the first time ever, because this is their first season. So that'll be a lot of fun. And you can always check back in with us. Also just bspnmedia.com and our YouTube page, where we're doing pretty good on the subscriptions. I like seeing those numbers go up. I like seeing our clips and our live streams. I like see how many people are watching them. So check us out on all of those platforms. So for Brian, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.